Good morning, Fairview. My name is Erica Racca, and I'm going to do the scripture reading for you today. And the scripture comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Jesus came home, and as usual, a crowd gathered. So many making demands on him that there wasn't even time to eat. His friends heard what was going on and went to rescue him by force, if necessary. They suspected he was getting carried away with himself. The religion scholars from Jerusalem came down spreading rumors that he was working black magic, using devil tricks to impress them with spiritual power. Jesus confronted their slander with a story. Does it make sense to send a devil to catch a devil? To use Satan to get rid of Satan? A constant squabbling family disintegrates. If Satan were fighting Satan, there soon wouldn't be any Satan left. Do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied man and walk off with his possessions unless you tie him up first? Tie him up, though, and you can clean him out. Listen to this carefully. I'm warning you. There's nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you persist in your slanders against God's Holy Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives, sawing off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one who forgives. He gave this warning because they were accusing him of being in league with evil. Just then, his mother and brothers showed up. Standing outside, they relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. He was surrounded by the crowd when he was given the message. Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside looking for you. Jesus responded, "Who do you think are my mother and brothers?" Looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, "Right here, right in front of you, my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Who is my mother? Who is my brother?
Pray with me this prayer from John Vanderlaar, entitled Tough Transformation. It's not that we don't want to change, God. It's just that change is really hard. The challenges of the world threaten to overwhelm us. The struggles of living each day come close to being too much, and so we are tempted to grab the quick fix, the easy solution, and inevitably we are disappointed. So we pray, reach into our hearts with courage and hope to embrace the tough transformations, to make the real and lasting changes, to seek the truly good answers for the sake of our families and communities, our countries and our continents, our people and our planet, for the sake of our very selves. May we find together and alone the strength to climb the mountain and see your glory, and then to walk to the cross through the pain until we know the joy and glory of resurrection. Amen. Come in and sit down. You are a part of the family. It's a delightful song with the best of intentions. Maybe we should sing it on the Sunday we regather, and perhaps every Sunday after as our gathering music. It's a song of hearty greeting, offering a wide welcome. The assumption is that everyone wants to be part of the family, or at least they should want to be. But long ago, my dear friend Elizabeth cautioned me against too glibly slipping into all the family imagery associated with church. Church family, family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, God the Father, even God the Mother. Maybe you can think of some other images on your own. For those of us who have had the experience of a loving, stable family, it's easy to extend those images to our church community. But Elizabeth reminded me that there are people who do not share that experience of stable, loving family, who had parents or siblings that were abusive, whose families disintegrated at an early stage, who were orphaned, whose family hung together, though highly dysfunctional. Even if we argue that family imagery connected to church life represents an ideal, that doesn't necessarily wipe away the pain and suffering many have experienced in the context of family. Later in the service, we will sing Thomas Trugger's hymn, God Made from One Blood. In the verse which we are not singing today, Trugger reminds us that we learn through our families how closeness and trust increase when our families are loving and just. Yet families have also distorted their roles, mistreating their members and bruising their souls. You see, there are many kinds of family connections, some good, some bad, some indifferent. And yet, whatever our experience of family life may be, there is no question that that life experience shapes us profoundly and permanently. Family roots run so deep and are not easily dug up and done away with, if at all possible. So what do we do with today's text, this mark and sandwich of kinship? Note that in the New Revised Standard Version, the text begins with Jesus' family of origin, not just friends, but his family, trying to rein him in, and it ends with them standing outside the house while he disavows them and binds himself to his dinner companions in a new family of choice. In between these two slices of family life, Mark places the meat of the conflict with the religious scholars. We're scandalized by the text. How can we follow Jesus when he turns his back on his own mother and brothers and sisters and challenges the religious authorities? There's no question that this is among the hard texts in Mark. Family connections and traditional family values were perhaps even more important in Jesus' world than in our own. Andrew Pryor writes that in antiquity, the extended family meant everything. It not only was the source of one's status in the community, but it also functioned as the primary economic, religious, educational, and social network. Loss of connection to the family meant loss of those vital networks, as well as the loss of connection to the land. He goes on, to leave family was dangerous. Not only did you leave behind your key social support, you left behind your key social obligation. To leave family was to shame them. When his family comes to restrain him, for people were saying, he's gone out of his mind, it's as much to protect themselves as it is to protect Jesus, and perhaps even more so. It's important to remember the sense of urgency with which Jesus pursues his ministry in Mark's gospel. In the truest sense of the word, he is a man on a mission. He is a singularity of focus, proclaiming and living out the reality of God's beloved community as it comes to life all around him. It may not be easy for us to accept his treatment of his family, but the point Mark is trying to make is that anything and anyone who gets in the way of the realization of God's beloved community is likely to get pushed aside. Jesus only has so much time to work his wonders, and he can't afford to let anything get in the way, not even his mother and sisters and brothers. And by the way, there's nothing in the text that says he doesn't love his family of origin, that he doesn't care for them. He just doesn't have time for them, especially on this day, and especially if they're going to be in the way. Maybe he's practicing a kind of tough love. His mother and sisters and brothers are welcome to join his family of choice, those seeking to do God's will. As Grace and Emmy proclaims in today's words of preparation, Christ's family is bigger than any human family. It includes people of all races and colors and backgrounds and traditions, and it is bound together by Christ's Spirit. It's bound together by Christ's Spirit and dedicated to doing God's will. All are welcome to join if you're willing to pay the price, to face the consequences of that choice. June is traditionally Pride Month for LGBTQIA folk. It commemorates the 1969 Stonewall riot in New York City when a group made up largely of African American and Puerto Rican drag queens said no more to police harassment and brutality. It's not a total stretch to claim that this disparate group of people found a community that often functioned for them as family. For too many LGBTQIA folk, their families of origin turned their backs, kicked them out, disowned them. And so we often band together in families of choice. We find love and support compassion and care among ourselves in ways our families of origin are no longer willing to offer. And this is not the case, by the way, for my own family, but for many. Wounds, physical and emotional, are bandaged and given the chance to heal among adopted siblings and parental figures who value the God-given humanity of each and every one of these queer family members. Jesus is doing something like that in this text, I think. His family of origin is trying to rein him in because they're both afraid for him and embarrassed by him, frankly. All his teaching and action, his healing, his casting out demons, his feeding the hungry, his hanging out with a riffraff from the margins, these are beyond the bounds of respectability. They're too great a challenge to the status quo. Why, just listen. The religious scholars from Jerusalem came down spreading rumors that he was working black magic, using devil tricks to impress them with spiritual power. The experts and the establishment were calling him Son of Satan. Doesn't that seem familiar as we see people painted with broad strokes of untruth today? Well, what is a poor family to do? And what else can Jesus do except turn from those who do not get him or understand his mission and embrace those who do? His family of choice, those who have been captured by the Christ Spirit and desire to do God's will. The family connections are not a matter of birth, but are born of choosing to follow Jesus, even when the times are tough and the road is rough. For those who follow will find themselves inevitably living into God's beloved community. To be captured by Christ's Spirit and to commit to doing God's will. What are we to discern from this ancient word for ourselves as we seek to connect as members of Jesus' family of choice? In his commentary, Theodore Jennings writes of this passage, "Whatever expels madness, heals lepers, restores life and wholeness is of the Spirit, is holy and godlike. The test of all things is simple human welfare. For it is that welfare that God is unconditionally committed in the mission of Jesus." Jennings continues, "What God wills is what has been demonstrated. The outcasts are befriended and the maimed are healed, the demon-possessed return to sanity. And whoever does this is Jesus' brother, mother, and sister, whoever. It's when we look on the face of any human being and see a sibling that night ends and day dawns. There is a new day of family connection in God's beloved community. Then maybe we can sing with authenticity and gusto. Come in and sit down. You are a part of the family. We are lost and we are found and we are part of the family. God's family. God's family in Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen."